Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shock It Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias, and joining me is...
Pat Renemeroff.
It's been a very, very long time since we've been on Skype talking about movies, but... And if listeners forgive me if I sound kind of weird, I'm a little under the weather at the moment. So we're going to be talking about two movies coming out this weekend. The first one is a new movie from horror director Ty West. This is his film The Innkeepers. And here's a brief synopsis from IMDb. During the final days of the Yankee Petal Inn, two employees determined to reveal the hotel's haunted past begin experiencing disturbing events as old guests check in for a stay. So Perry, what are your thoughts on The Innkeepers? You are a fan of Ty West's work, right?
I am, moderately. When House of the Devil came out, it was such a nice change of pace because, I mean, he's kind of becoming known as the director that makes the slow burn horror movie, mm-hmm. where it really builds the whole time. And you're kind of just like, for example, in The House of the Devil, you're lurking in this house for a while before anything really happens. And this is the same type of style. And while sometimes it can almost feel like a cop out when it's moving so slowly the whole time, and then you get a lot of stuff in your face without trying to spoil anything, there's something so refreshing about it that it's hard not to enjoy. And he's got a knack for writing some really real and likable characters. And in The Innkeepers in particular, Sarah Paxton and Pat Healy just have an incredible amount of chemistry, and the two of them make for the perfect leading pair.
Yeah, I agree. Like, my biggest takeaway from The Innkeepers were Sarah Paxton and Pat Healy as the two employees. I love their back and forth, kind of almost like a brother and sister type of relationship that they had. But I'm not kind of lukewarm on Ty West. I see a lot of potential in his visual eye, at least. And I feel one day he's going to come out with a really great movie. But sad to say, I don't think The Innkeepers is that movie. It was very like a very slow burn for very little payoff, and that's definitely what you get with Ty West films, and that was a definitely turnoff. But I think that his style does go very well with the haunted house atmosphere that he brings along with this movie.
Yeah, I'd probably, in comparing it to House of the Devil, I'd say that one had the bigger payoff, which is probably why I was a little more satisfied with it. This one was just, I mean, it was a little more fun to sit through, perhaps because it was two people the large majority of the time rather than the last round, which was just one for a good portion of the film. And yeah, it was their banter and hanging out with them. I mean, I wasn't really as on board with the legend of the ghost in the hotel that I should have been, but the fact that Claire, Sarah Paxton's character, is having such a blast with it kind of made me want to like bop around and follow her and see what's lurking around the corner.
Yeah, this movie does give a very good lasting impression. I just spent the past week and a half in Park City, Utah during the Sundance Film Festival, and a good amount of time I've spent at this hotel called the Yarrow. And the Yarrow is a hotel, and they also show movies, and there's a restaurant there. And they have these really creepy hallways. And it's also a good place to get free Wi-Fi because Wi-Fi is very scarce in Park City, but the Yarrow Hotel has really great Wi-Fi. As I'm walking through these hallways, the only thing I can think about is the movie The Innkeepers, because the hotel looked practically exactly like it. It was old, it was creepy, and it had like these like you make a sound and it would creak. And so I'll give Ty West credit for The Innkeepers in that it does give you this lasting impression, but I just don't know in service of what though. This film is a little overlong. I mean, it's 100 minutes, but for me it could have been easily 85 minutes to 90 minutes and it would have been fine. And I guess that just goes along with the slowness of Ty West's work. And also at Sundance, they premiered this anthology film VHS, which has a short film by Ty West in it, and that film his section of it was just very slow. And again, it's just very slow with very little payoff. So hopefully he doesn't go along with this this style too much. From what I heard, he was offered Paranormal Activity 2, and he turned that down. And I think that would have probably been a good experience for Ty West.
You know, I can't remember if I actually spoke to him about this, but when I did an interview with him for The Innkeepers recently, I believe I might have dropped something about him doing Paranormal Activity 4 and him saying he wouldn't know what to do with it because everything's been done with that franchise already.
Yeah, but it seems like that would be right up his alley, though, like to do something like that. But
he's got a pretty big one now on his plate that what's it called? The Side Effect. And I believe Liv Tyler just signed on for it. And it's about a character that goes to space for a pharmaceutical company to test some things. And I think it's like a psychological thriller, maybe.
Like a horror sci-fi film?
More so than a horror movie.
That would be interesting, like a sci-fi thriller horror movie from Ty West. I'm sure it would still have that same kind of haunted houseness I can imagine in space because it's
lurking around some spaceship.
Yeah, it seems like that's his MO. And Innkeepers is a limited release this week, so, and I think it is on demand, and I know it's on iTunes as well. And I would recommend seeing it if you're a horror fan or if you're a fan of Ty West. But if you're not a fan of Ty West, probably don't see it. I would say see it for Pat Healy or Sarah Paxton, who are great in the movie. Okay, and I thought it was kind of weird that Lena Dunham was in this movie for like a second, and then she goes.
Yeah, she plays the coffee girl, right?
Yeah, I was so like, oh, Lena Dunham's in this, and then she's gone.
Very random.
So the next movie we're going to talk about is Chronicle, and this is kind of like the new, I don't want to say superhero movie because it's definitely not, it's a found footage movie, which is kind of strange because it seems like the movie that we just talked about, Innkeepers, that would kind of lend itself to be a found footage movie. But in case of Chronicle, this is a story about a couple high school kids come in contact with some underground thing, and they have superpowers, and they're documenting what it's like to have superpowers in Seattle, all with their video camera and whatever. So Perry, what did you think of Chronicle?
I had so much fun with Chronicle. Like, sure, it falls into some of those cliche elements, and you know, the tough time you'll have working with found footage at times, but this is just an absolute blast. And one of my favorite things about this is how well it sticks to one of the taglines found on the poster, boys will be boys, because that's really what makes this special and this stand out amongst superhero movies. It's because when you think about it, what would a group of teenagers do if they really did get superpowers? You know, they're not going to dress up like Spider-Man and save New York City. They're going to mess around and play pranks.
Yeah, actually, when I went in to see Chronicle, I was kind of surprised how much I liked this movie. And I'm going to talk about what I liked about it before I talk about what I didn't like about it. And I think the quality of movie that we're going to get here at the beginning of February is pretty high. That normally we don't get movies of this caliber at the beginning of the year, but thankfully we've had a pretty good January. And from the looks of it, pretty okay February. And I love the camaraderie between these three boys, like these three high school kids, and the fact that they became friends because of this one incident, and now they have these superpowers, and what they do to show off and what they do to show off and see like, oh, I'm better than you at doing this and doing that. And that was kind of a blast. I guess it's the discovering that you have superpowers. You know, that's usually the best part of a superhero movie, is when the main character discovers that they have superpowers. The scene from Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man movie, comes to mind when Peter Parker realizes that he has powers of a spider. And you get a lot of that in this movie, and that's what I really enjoyed about it. And actually, thinking about it when this movie was over, this is what I wish X-Men First Class would have been, because we can see how two friends in Chronicle become friends, become closer because of these superpowers, but then drift apart because of them as well. And I actually like that element of this movie a lot. I have two criticisms of this movie. One, I wish Fox would have put more money into this movie because some of the CGI looked very bad. And two, I wish it wasn't a found footage movie because the limitations of what you could do with a found footage movie is definitely apparent in this movie. Like always having a reason for a camera to be on was just, for me, that's all I kept thinking about while watching it.
I'm going to have to agree with you on both fronts. I particularly started to have a problem with the CGI. God, I don't know if this is spoiling anything, but just in case, I guess spoiler alert. I had a problem with the flying that looked so ridiculous that I couldn't really digest that.
Like, which part of the flying, like when they started to
the
fly?
I got used to it after a few minutes and basically just knew what to expect from it. But the very first time you see a character up in the air, I was like, I almost couldn't look at the scene without picturing the rig behind him. I mean, of course it wasn't there, but I like knew it was there so much that I could see it practically. And then in terms of the found footage, you know, I like watching found footage, period. It's kind of like why I like films that are shot documentary style. There's something about it that I think really bridges a gap and makes you feel like you're part of the story. The problem here with found footage is that the use of it is just not justified in terms of how it relates to the story and the material. Because even right from the beginning, it's the character Andrew who picks up the camera and brings it along with him. He doesn't really have any reason to do that in the beginning. It's just like the story is going to start here because one day Andrew wakes up and he's like, I'm going to carry a camera around wherever I go. And he's a loner and an outcast. And it seems like he kind of wants friends, but he's going to alienate himself by bringing a camera everywhere he goes. That just seemed a little silly to me. And then towards the tail end of the film, it's kind of like they almost gave up with putting the found footage shooting cameras in normal and practical situations. And they're just like, let's pretend there's one over here and here and here, just so we could see these really cool action shots. And you just completely lose the point where the camera is supposed to be.
Well, also when they introduce a second character who also happens to be shooting everything in her life as well, I was like, really, we're going to have two characters that shoot things in their life? I mean, I don't even know one person in my life that continuously holds a camera up to everything. And so I was definitely bothered by that. There's a moment in the movie where there's kind of like this the small off-screen voice saying, oh, we have to keep the camera on for XX purposes. And I'm all like, really? Just having excuses to have a camera on doesn't really bode well for me when watching a found footage movie. Like, one of my favorite found footage movies is Cloverfield. I thought that was actually pretty clever the way they capture what's going on the streets of New York, and also capturing this relationship, why the protagonist is wanting to get to this girl at the end of the movie. I thought that was very clever the way that was handled in Cloverfield. And this one, it just seemed like, well, we're just going to patch all this stuff together and see what makes it work. And I guess doing the found footage route in Chronicle, maybe they didn't have to put that much money into the CGI effects because, well, it's found footage. It's not going to look good anyway. But there's a scene like I think the talent show scene. That was a scene that was very bothersome to me that just looked completely fake. I'm not asking for like 100% realism, but I just want to make it believable in a way. It's as if I was watching like a YouTube video and I could just totally call it, well, that's fake. This is all set up. And I know that's not what the filmmakers wanted with this movie.
It's funny, in my review, that's what I like in a lot of this movie too. I mean, not in the same sense that you just brought up, but I call it a YouTube movie in the fact that, you know, you go and you watch people pull these pranks on people on YouTube and you laugh and laugh and watch them over and over. And that's kind of like the feeling that comes out of these. It's sort of just watched like almost 90 minutes of these guys playing pranks on people and loved it.
Yeah. And when it did start to get heavy, like emotionally and character wise, I felt that it did a pretty good job of it. And I really, when it comes down to my criticism, I just kind of wish this wasn't fully found footage, and maybe Fox didn't know how well. I mean, is this movie? Do you think this movie is going to do well this weekend?
Oh yeah, I think it's. I mean, it's either going to be this or The Woman in Black, and I'm betting on this.
So, because it's going to be really tough, because people are going to go out Friday and Saturday, but I don't know if anyone's going to go out on Sunday, being Super Bowl Sunday.
I mean, that might knock the numbers a little bit, but I think this has a good shot at making maybe 20.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, this is a very quality picture, and I think, like, if you're a fan of superhero movies, this is definitely one to see. I mean, again, just like when people discovering that they have powers, and I really didn't have that criticism of them flying. Like, at least when they're flying through the air, like at fast speeds, I thought that was really exhilarating. And I would think, well, that's kind of how I would be if I was flying in real life. And I think that's what I enjoyed mostly from Chronicle, which is surprising. I didn't think this movie was going to be very good at all. So
I mean, I could pick apart, you know, little technical things and, you know, maybe even a few plot points here or there. But overall, you can't judge it too harshly, because it's just so much fun. It's so much fun for so much of it. And then when it goes dark, and this gets pretty dark, it earns it too, because it's been building that way the whole time. So this is just a really it's a pretty well done film, and it's a fulfilling experience. You know, it's fun, but there's a lot, that's probably what surprised me most, actually, how much like emotion and real life issues are in here. Cause Andrew and Matt in the movie, their relationship, it's more than just two high school buddies. They've got some serious dialogue going on there.
Totally. And again, I saw it as Professor X and Magneto. If they were teenagers, this is probably what it would be like. I wasn't a big fan of X-Men First Class, and after seeing this movie, I just wish X-Men First Class was a lot like this, character-wise, anyways. All right, let's close out this episode of Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You could find me at shakya.com, movies.com, cinemablend.com, comingsoon.net, and of course on Twitter. My handle is pnemiroff, P-N-E-M-I-R-O-F-F.
And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, AutorCast.com, and everything that is Rudy is at RudyObias.com. On the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing Safe House, the new film with Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds, and perhaps Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace in 3D. I didn't like this movie when it was not in 3D. Maybe I'll change my mind this time, but most likely not. So closing out this episode of Movie Night, thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye.